Welcome to r/malicious compliance, where OP tricks his boss into paying him $21,000. Our next Reddit post is from Club Wag. A few years ago, I worked at a big retail company and had for many years. Eventually, I went through enough grad school education to get my license and work at a higher level. I got much more pay, more job satisfaction, more responsibilities, and a fancy title, but the job market was rough. I stayed on with my company to work in a floater position where I would cover a large area and work at all the stores within that area on a rotating but irregular basis. Eventually, I wanted to get a staff position where I would have a single store assigned to me. The area I covered was huge, with the furthest store being over 100 miles away from my home. And, of course, that's exactly where I was assigned to train for the new role. It was a rough store. Folks in my position were robbed and assaulted at gunpoint. The neighborhood was very unfriendly, and volume at the store was among the highest in the state. Staff turnover was, as you might expect, extreme. Well, after training, I wasn't really being scheduled to float to other stores, once a month at most. I asked to be scheduled a little more diversely, since most of the stores in my area were much closer to my home, and they didn't require 4 hours of driving a day. My boss man told me that I was the only floater experienced enough to handle that store. I didn't buy it, but what can you do, right? Well, a colleague told me about our company's mileage reimbursement policy. Floaters working at a store more than 50 miles away from home can file for reimbursement of mileage over that 50 miles each way, and can even include meals. So I filled out a few of these forms and sent them to my boss to sign. He didn't quite refuse, but he never actually signed and filed them either. I suspect that as soon as I left his office at our district center, he just tossed them out. Boss man tells me later, they must be lost in the system. Eventually, the same colleague showed me how to fax those same forms to account payable, bypassing the district boss man. So I started doing just that. One day, boss man calls me in a panic. He wants me to stop filling out those forms. I ask to be floated closer to home, but he won't budge. He needs me at that miserable store. He promises me that he'll give me a staff role at the store if I promise to stop filling out those forms. Staff roles are a promotion, and they usually come with better pay and a few other little conveniences, so I agree. Bossman says there won't be a pay bump right away, but it'll come down the road. That never happened. 2 years later, the situation at the store had become too toxic, even for me. I asked to step down from the staff position to be a floater again and be allowed to float to other stores. Bossman says that I already am a floater, that I never was in a staff position, but that he can't let me work at other stores because it's better for me and the customers if I stay there for familiarity. But floaters don't get scheduled to one store exclusively, so I'm being singled out because they're still desperate to cover that dump of a store. I am livid. So I start looking. It took me months, but eventually I found an opportunity to make my dream career transition. I put in my formal notice, and that's when the fun started. Remember that whole mileage reimbursement policy? Well, I kept meticulous track of all my shifts, and there's no statute of limitation baked into the policy. So I started filling out those reimbursement forms to retroactively cover every single shift from the past 2 odd years. I skipped the meal part since I didn't want to go through all the effort of finding receipts. I had a friendly store manager sign off on them, and I started sending them to accounts payable directly again. I didn't fax them in all at once, but for each shift in my final 2 weeks, I faxed in a few dozen. I figured, what do I have to lose? Worst case scenario, accounts payable just declines the forms. On my last few shifts, I started getting the checks from accounts payable. They weren't added to my paycheck, but they were sent to me directly. Mileage reimbursements are non-taxable income, so this was all tax-free money coming to me. It must have taken a while for the charges to show up on the balance sheet, because a few weeks after my final paycheck, I got a call from my now former boss man. He wasn't happy. He got some big loss prevention manager involved, and together they started saying that I was breaking some rule by requesting the payments. They specifically claimed that I was ineligible because I agreed that I wouldn't be eligible if I had a staff position. They then threatened legal action against me if I didn't remit the full amounts back that same week. But I had the email chain from when Bossman said that I was never staff. I was always a floater. I politely referenced the email chain before letting them know firmly that because I was lied to, our prior agreement didn't apply, and I was fully eligible all along. Corporate policy, as confirmed by HR, agreed with me, so I let them know that I wasn't returning a single penny. In the end, the reimbursement amounted to well over $21,000, and I transitioned to my dream job. I could say that I would trade that money back for the time that I lost commuting to that miserable store. 4 hours every shift. But all that pressure motivated me to making the best career move of my life. The great satisfaction of not only professionally surpassing my old boss, but getting to tell him that his lies cost him way more on the way out is almost priceless. I also shared my story and method with many colleagues who were being told wrongfully by the boss man that they didn't qualify for this policy. And beneath that, we have this story from Korovac. Not quite as fancy, but when I was young, I worked for a retailer that started me at minimum wage. So I was one of two people who did overnight receiving and merchandising. I did a good job, and I got two raises over a year. They had a 10-level pay grade scheme, so I was now at level 2 of 10 possible raises. The state minimum wage then went up to more than I was making with my two raises, and I got called into a meeting.
"We're giving you a raise."
"To 2 steps above the new minimum wage?"
"No, to the new minimum wage. It's a big step up in pay for you."
"And then you'll step me up after 90 days like before, right?"
"No, you're already done with your probationary period. This is your new permanent wage."
I was looking for any silver lining in this news, so I said, "Well, at least I get reset back on the pay grades and I can have 10 more raises from here, right?"
"Oh, no, you've already had 2 raises, so you can only get 8 more.
So that was the worst place I've ever worked. I'm doing much better now, and that retailer went out of business quite spectacularly, so F 'em. Hey, Opie, at least you got raises. I never got 1 single raise at my previous job before being a YouTuber. Our next Reddit post is from Deleted. "I'm an educator, and my district has been allowing some people to work from home all this year so they wouldn't have to take sick days. Well, this January, my child was sick, so I asked if I could take 2 work-from-home days instead of sick days because my position would allow for that. I was told in no way was that going to be possible because they're not doing that anymore, and I have to take sick days instead. I told them it would be absolutely perfect for me to work from home because I wasn't having classes that week anyway, and I could get all my paperwork completed over the next 2 days. We also have our office phone set up on our laptop, so I would still be able to take calls from home as well. This would cost my district 0 money to allow. Nope, still denied. So I maliciously complied. Being that I wasn't allowed to work from home, I sent an away message on my email and voicemail that indicated, "Since Blank School District no longer allows its employees to work from home, I'll be out with a sick child and have taken my own personal sick days over the next couple of days. I'll be returning emails and voicemails upon my return." I didn't answer my cell phone from coworkers or bosses. I ended up being out for 3 days, and there were some major issues at work that could have been cleared up in about 30 seconds if only I was allowed to work from home. On the bright side, not working from home allowed me to get some really great mommy/toddler snuggles. It also allowed me to come to the realization that school districts don't really care that much, and this is why we're all so burnt out. Our next Reddit post is from All Names Are Taken. "About a decade ago, I was in a McDonald's. I'd ordered, paid, and I was just waiting for my food near the pickup counter. In walked a man with a serious case of main character syndrome. He placed his order, then stood directly against the pickup counter. Shortly after, my food came out, and yes, they called out my order number. He quickly snatched it up, then looked in the bag and noticed that it wasn't the right food. Since there was no chance that he could have made a mistake, he started to complain. He was yelling that they gave him the wrong food, and he insisted they put his food in the bag right away.
With the joy of someone who doesn't get paid enough for this nonsense, they gladly obliged.
Taking the bag back, they quickly piled all of his food right on top of mine. The toxic levels of smug emanating from this man dissipated as the employee turned and handed me the bag.
"I'm sorry, sir. This bag wasn't your order. It was OP's. Your order will be just a few more minutes, as we need to remake it."
Our next Reddit post is from BearMC. I work in an office that sells bulk goods to businesses that use them, like retail outlets. Our office doesn't usually have a strict dress code, but we recently got a new boss, Asshat, who is quite literally the stick up my ass.
He's constantly yelling at everyone about basic stuff, like punching in a minute or two late or early, or being a word or two off the script during outbound and inbound calls.
Dealing with him has made me hate this job. As it's getting hotter, I've been wearing khaki shorts to work the past few days, which is something I've always done for the past few years, and nobody's confronted me about it before. So I figured nothing would change this year, but boy was I wrong. About halfway through my shift, this boss comes to my desk and realizes that I'm wearing shorts and is visibly annoyed. He mutters something under his breath and goes back to his office. An hour later, I was called into his office where he proceeded to berate me about breaking dress code.
He was fuming and ended the meeting with, "From now on, you followed the dress code to the book or you're fired."
Say no more, boss.
That night, I went home and read up on the dress code rules. There was, in fact, a rule against shorts, so I was annoyed, but I kept on.
And then I found it. There was no rule preventing males from wearing skirts or kilts. Here's where I devised my plan. I immediately ordered a pink and white striped kilt online, as well as matching knee-high socks and shirts. There were no rules stated in the dress code against any of this, surprisingly.
About a week later, the clothes arrived, and here's what ensued the following workday.
I walked in wearing my new pink business outfit, and immediately the whole office is staring at me. And the boss who came in to cover another boss's shift in the morning was beet red in the face. He yelled at me to come into his office. He goes on this 10-minute rant about how I'm a useless employee and that he's gonna fire me for not following the dress code to a T.
I simply stated, "But I am in the dress code. I urge you to read the employee handbook."
He ended up reading the whole thing in front of me, and I could see him getting more and more angry as he realized that I didn't break any rules.
I asked him, "Am I free to go back to work?"
And he looked at me with a death glare, muttered something under his breath, and waved me off.
Beneath that, we have this story from Raven. I worked with this one guy at Walmart for a while. Our dress code then was that shorts had to cover the knees, but he's really tall, 6'8", and a slender build. So instead of trying to find shorts that fit, he decided to order some kilts.
Management threw a fit because they didn't think that he could do that, and they tried to challenge him based on ethnicity. But hold on, he's half Scottish. He brought in his actual Scottish family seal and paperwork to the asshat who tried to challenge him. Then he proceeded to open door all the way to corporate. That manager no longer works for Walmart, and he's not eligible for rehire even as a cart pusher.
Our next Reddit post is from I'm D&D. I work in a prison, and working in a prison means a responsibility to ensure the well-being of inmates. As expected, this includes medical needs. Anything that you would see a doctor for, inmates would as well. The procedure is to send a medical kite or a letter to medical with concerns, symptoms, etc., and then request to be seen. For a true emergency, like chest pains or trouble breathing, an inmate can declare a medical emergency. This is the equivalent in a prison of calling emergency services. When the medical emergency is requested, a radio call is made with the location, nature of the emergency, and the requested type of service needed, such as facility medical staff, custody staff, and outside medical services. When a medical emergency or a code is called, the facility is locked down. This means no movement for the inmates. Lunch being served? Sorry, you'll have to wait to eat while the code is going on. Time for you to go to work? Sorry, you're going to lose some pay until the code is clear. As expected, there are incarcerated individuals that are not all that mentally stable. They'll declare a medical emergency for a hurt toe or heartburn. Now, as a regular person, I'm aware that a hurt toe is not a medical emergency, so I, and many others, would advise an inmate to Kite Medical and request to be seen. This system seemed to work for a long time, until the administration began to receive complaints from the inmates that staff were ignoring the request to declare medical emergencies.
"You're not medically trained," was the answer that we received when we tried to explain the reason for ignoring medical emergencies. "Just do your job and declare the medical emergencies."
Okay, message received loud and clear. Over the next week, medical emergencies went from one a day to 3 to 4 a day. Inmate has a stubbed toe? Medical emergency. Constipated? Medical emergency.
Itchy butt?
Medical emergency. You get the point.
The facility was paralyzed, and medical was mad because they had to respond to every call.
Food services was mad because a meal that took an hour to serve now took 2 to 3 hours to serve. And the inmates were mad because their yard and gym time was affected.
Exactly 1 week later, we received an email telling us to stop declaring medical emergencies and to use our own judgment. A few staff members kept it going for another week until it faded out. There was no "sorry for the inconvenience" or "you were right," but that email was so satisfying to receive.
Down in the comments, we have this post from Mad Driver. "I used to be a mountain rescue medic. I called in a fatality over the radio, and I was told rather bluntly that I wasn't a doctor and I couldn't pronounce a death. My reply that the person's head was around 6 feet away from the other bits was met with silence." That was r/malicious compliance, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.